This is the Grind It Podcast. We know just like grinding a handrail or across a coping can be challenging at times, so can life be. We share God's Word and personal stories to encourage you to keep grinding and to not give up. It's time to grind. So here's the old school skateboarder himself, Randall Tucker.
What does God know?
Everything.
As in what? When it comes to suffering.
A lot, because he suffered greater than all of us and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, how would God suffer? Or, well, okay, so you got Jesus. We just went through the resurrection weekend.
Right. And we were just talking about, my God, why have you forsaken me? That sense of him feeling abandoned.
Yeah.
On the cross. Like, experiencing that separation from the Father.
He experienced pain, abandonment. God, I think that God up in heaven kind of, maybe not literally turned his back on Jesus, but when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, let this cup pass from me, all he got was crickets. So God, there was some kind of a separation there for a short period of time. All Jesus, who never sinned, became sin, right?
Mm-hmm.
He bore our sins, our iniquities on the cross. So the book of Hebrews talks about he was tempted in every way that we were tempted.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows what it's like to be tempted. Yeah, Matthew 4, you know, the devil tempted him out in the wilderness. Different kinds. So what does God know? He knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he suffered everything that each one of us has ever gone through and will ever go through. He understands and knows divorce. He understands all of the pains and sufferings that we walk through mm-hmm. each day. He knows what rejection is. Yeah. He knows what. Are you shaking your
head? Yeah, because I want you to pause for a second before you keep going, because I want to go back to what some of you say. Because people will say, how does God know divorce? But do you know that God actually says that he divorced Israel
mm-hmm.
in Jeremiah?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't, because God hates divorce, you know, and they start, you know, God, and divorce is, you know, the most terrible thing that, you know, that's ever happened in the church. Everywhere. It is bad, yes, and God does hate divorce. But Jeremiah says God divorced Israel. God knows what it's like for his people to like you said earlier, be prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
To go chasing after other
lovers.
Yeah. God literally, he knows everything. He's experienced it all. He's experienced losing a child.
Yeah.
So that's why James says, if you lack wisdom, go to God and ask for it, because he'll give it generously. How? Because wisdom that James is talking about here comes with experience, and God has literally experienced it.
Okay, so what does the wisdom do? Does it get you out of that?
No. I think you hit it on the head earlier. I don't think we were recording yet, but I mean, maybe we were. You were talking about building the faith. God gives everybody a measure of faith, and then that faith, we grow that faith. We build that faith.
And sometimes the wisdom is just how to navigate through that difficulty, right? And like, keep the faith, right? He grows us from faith to faith and glory to glory in each of those trials, each of those difficulties that we keep focused on him. That's just growing our confidence in his ability, in his faithfulness. It's growing us in our intimacy with him, learning to listen to his voice.
I've seen this.
So each trial helps us to grow in our faith. And when we ask him for wisdom, are we asking him for wisdom to get through it, or what we are supposed to learn from this?
Mm-hmm.
Some people are confused about, you know, is God making me sick and what should I learn? And I'm doing it for his glory. you know, he wouldn't put sickness on me unless he was going to try and teach me something. You know, that's not what
I don't believe God puts sickness on people, because the Bible says that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Right, but this wisdom here is not talking about sickness or disease. That's not what we're talking. We're talking about here. Let's not get confused with that that point. That's something completely different. The wisdom will help us grow from faith to faith to get us closer to Him. But it says in 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing doubting, for he that doubts is like the surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. So when you ask him for wisdom, you have to believe that he's going to give you that wisdom and not doubt. And all of your experiences previously, as in yesterday, should be enough foundation for you to be able to ask for wisdom today, because he's answered you every other time. So you should be able to ask in faith today, because you already have that foundation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know what's funny is it's not funny, it's kind of sad, but it is funny. Like the early church was praying when James is beheaded in Acts chapter 12 verse 1. Peter's in prison, and he's going to be next, but it's the Passover week, whatever, so they're having to wait. So Peter's there for 8 days. The night of he's about to be slain, the angel comes and delivers him, right? And we find out that they're all at John Mark's house praying for Peter's release. God delivers Peter. He's knocking on the door. Rhoda, the servant girl, goes and opens the door and basically shuts in his face.
Because they don't even really believe what they're praying.
They think
right.
It's his ghost. Yeah.
Well, their example was Jesus. Oh, it's his ghost. I'm not letting that in.
But isn't that praying and doubting?
I think a lot of times we get really going and fired up. Wait, we're not done yet. Don't answer that door. You know, wait, Pete, we ain't done for you yet. Just stay where you are. Okay, come on. You know, we get very, very wound up.
Yeah. So I want to go back to something that you brought up just a second ago. I mean,
they were still praying as he was walking down the street coming to their house. They were still praying.
Yeah.
Right.
They were still praying when he knocked on the door.
I mean, you know, were they not asking
for wisdom?
Hey,
y'all can quit praying.
Hey,
I'm standing right here.
Go ahead and put a cork on it whenever you're ready, God.
But isn't it hard to pray and not doubt?
Well,
because I mean, it's like we pray for stuff all the time, but in the back of our mind, we're thinking, but is he really going to do it? Is he really going to grow that limb back that I just prayed for?
Mm-hmm.
Is he really going to let that person in that motorized wheelchair stand up if I go pray for him?
Mm-hmm.
No. Or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This is some stuff that we've been talking about later. So.
But you're trying to lean on your wisdom and understanding.
Lean not on your own understanding.
It's not,
I heard that verse today.
It's not you. It's him. Mm-hmm. And if he told you to go do it, it's still not you.
Right.
It's him.
That's a good point.
And he will do his word.
Right.
Because there's one thing that I found he cannot do.
He cannot lie.
And he cannot lie.
Yeah. That's a good point, because, I mean, it's going back to what James said in verse 1. I'm a slave. God's my master. I'm giving up my will and going to live for him. In other words, I'm giving him control. And if we seek our own wisdom and our own understanding, then we're still in control. And if we're in control, it ain't happening. So, and it goes back to what you were saying a while ago, and I can't remember what the point was now because we've meandered from it for so long.
Squirrel.
But this wisdom thing and our faith building, our trusting in God, that was the point. So I've seen this meme 1,000 times, but I saw it again today or yesterday. One, you know, we want to be in control, and we have our own plans, and we want to fit God into our plans instead of us fitting into God's plan,
mm-hmm.
right? And so our plans is, I want to get to point A to point B to point C to point D in straight lines, and everything's going to go smooth, whatever. And then you got my plans versus God's plans, and God's plans is just, yeah, you're saying it's just all over the place, right? And which means storms come, trials come, testing comes, tribulation, whatever. And we have to, we're like, what in the world is going on, God? Why is this happening? But yet I'm going to continue to trust you, which mm-hmm. is wisdom. Mm-hmm. And when we continue to trust and we continue to walk and we get to the other side of that trial, storm, test, whatever, and we find out that God is faithful, then it builds our faith.
Right.
All right. So James says, when you ask God for that wisdom, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Don't waver, don't doubt. For a person with divided loyalty, this is a New Living Translation, or a person who doubts is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people, well, what people is he talking about? The people who doubt when they come to God. These people who doubt, they should not expect anything, or they should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. That's heavy.
Mm-hmm.
A person who doubts their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and a person who doubts they are unstable in everything
mm-hmm.
that they do. So in other words, I think what James is saying is we're either all in or not. We're all in or we're not. Kind of like the church in Laodicea in Revelation 3. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds. So they're working, right? They're doing good deeds. Mm-hmm. That you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold,
I
will spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich and I have acquired wealth and I don't need a thing. But do you not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked?
Naked.
I counsel you to buy from me gold refined with fire mm-hmm. so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness.
Nakedness.
And salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Those whom I love I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person.
As long as they ain't naked.
Oh, I can't read. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. Naked as a jaybird. Just as I was victorious and sat down on my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The Spirit says, put some clothes on.
Come back, Holy Spirit.
Come back, Shane.
We still read your word, Lord.
We are releasing the sound. Cause the lost generation to be found.
All you Grind It podcast listeners, I know you enjoy some good music, but I want to tell you about some awesome music. Now, my friend Mary Gamboa, she's also the worship leader at the church where I worship, called Authentic Church here in Alcoa, Tennessee. We'd love to invite you to come out and check us out sometime when you get a chance. We start at 10 a.m. and we're on Lindsay Street here in Alcoa. Mary has produced a new album called Jealous, and you can check that out anywhere music is being streamed. But you can also check it out at marygamboamusic.com. That's Mary, G-A-M-B-O-A, music.com. Go check that out. Alright, so as we end today, let me remind us of what...
Wait, are we done?
Yeah, unless you got anything
Hold
you
want on, to say. Wait, yeah, she had something...
You did?
I had to read something to you. Go.
Go.
kill you.
All right, let me read this as you catch your breath. So here's what the Hebrew author told his audience when they were wavering, because we don't want to doubt, we don't want to waver. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, right? Mm-hmm. Hebrews 10:19-25, therefore, brethren, having boldness, as we talked about this in the prayer time this morning, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us, through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful.
He who promised is faithful.
And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more the days you see, the day approaching.
Okay, so yeah, I was wondering about that scripture because I knew I had read it somewhere. I guess it was in your notes. So he who promised is faithful. So
what? You read my notes?
I did. I know.
I'm impressed.
Miracle, sign, and wonder. Yeah. Like Carrie was talking about earlier, each time we lean into the Lord and he shows up, right, that builds our faith. We can look back on his pattern of faithfulness and know that he's going to carry us through the next thing. But that particular scripture, years ago I was attending a women's conference at Discovery Camp in Texas. And Rachel Birchfield said, I guess she just got this little song, this little ditty that day about that particular scripture. He who promised is faithful. And you repeat. He who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. And those who refuse to waver at his word will inherit the promise. And it was just something she got like really quick, but it has stuck with me for 20 plus years. You know, I mean, he is faithful. But our job is not to waver. Right?
But when we talk about the past,
to come to him and not doubt.
How do you do that when you're in the storm, though? That's, you know, if you're scared of, you look at the dogs and the animals in a thunderstorm and they, you know, they just go cower. They're scared to death. That's when life happens and you're going through a personal storm, it's easy to say this stuff, but it's hard to do.
But what did Jesus tell the disciples when they got into the boat? Get in the boat. We're going to the other side.
But they didn't think they were going to make it.
Right. Get up, we're gonna die.
Don't you care?
Right? Don't you care? We're about to be swamped and we're gonna die.
And when we're going through a storm, that's why people, I mean, just talking real here, that's why people feel. Mm-hmm. And they don't see God working in that storm.
Wait, didn't I say we were going to the other side?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's really freaking?
There's that trampoline going by.
Come back, Shane. What was you want to say?
Just a verse from 1 John 5. It says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Then a few verses down, it says, we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life.
Four times it was one word you said. Oh, you said it four times in those few verses you read.
No.
We know, we know, we know, we know.
So you have to put in remembrance all of those trials that you have come through in the past. Recite them to yourself, like you were saying when you interview people. Recite, but God brought me through this, and God brought me through that.
And you have to stand on his promises. His promises are yes and amen.
You have to. And if you don't know the promises, my goodness, find somebody who can point you to them.
Well, and that's the purpose of Ebenezer stones, right? Or memorials. Altars that the Lord had Moses or the children of Israel right. built throughout the desert was so that when you came back to that pile of rocks and you were like, what was that about? Oh yeah, that's the place where God did this.
Right.
Right? That's what even the feasts of the Lord are supposed to be about, right? Amen. We're looking at Passover. What is it a celebration of? It's his faithfulness to bring his people out of bondage and into freedom.
Right.
Right? What is Tabernacles about? Oh yeah, that's about remembering his provision, the 40 years that they were wandering around in the desert. You know, that's...
the Lord's Supper.
Right.
Do this in remembrance of me.
All of these things are supposed to be so that we can look back and remember his faithfulness in the past. And that gives us confidence to go forward. Now, again, the Passion Translation here says, just make sure you ask, empowered by confident faith, without doubting that you will receive. For the ambivalent person believes one minute and doubts the next. Being undecided makes you become like rough seas driven and tossed by the wind. You're up one minute and tossed down the next. When you are half-hearted and wavering, it leaves you unstable. Can you really expect to receive anything from the Lord when you're in that condition?
No.
Well, maybe he'll give me... I don't know. Well, I think I can ask for this. No, I'm not worthy. You know, right. That's the instability. Not when we come to him and say, Lord, I don't understand the storm that I'm in the middle of right now, but I know that you are faithful and I know that you'll get me through this. You're with me. You haven't left me. That's confidence, right? Because I can look back at the past and go, this is what he's done in the past. I don't understand it right now, but I know I can count on you for my present and the future.
He didn't say it was going to feel good.
Right? Right. He didn't say it would be easy.
And he didn't say... He said for us to speak to the mountains. Mm-hmm. So if there's a mountain in your way, speak to it. Move it. Mm-hmm. Move it. When that trampoline comes flying by, tell it you won't land in my yard. Right? Right, brother?
That's right. You read those verses one more time, then Mary's going to pray and we'll be done. Because that's good. Because listen to John starts that verse off. Because you just said the word.
Thank
you. First
John 5:14. This is the confidence.
That's what you just said.
Confidence.
Mm-hmm. This is the confidence. Well, how do we have confidence? How can we have confidence in anything? How do we have confidence in God specifically? It goes back to the four times that he mentions. We know. When you know something, you're confident about that thing. Mm-hmm. So we can have confidence. John's saying we can have confidence in God. Why? All right, so start over and read it.
This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And
so we're confident that God hears us in anything that we ask for. Mm-hmm. We can approach his throne. We can ask it, and we can have confidence that God hears us. All right, go ahead.
As long as it's his will.
Yes. His will. Good point.
Which is where wisdom comes in.
Absolutely.
And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. And then jumping down to 20, we know also that the...
Wait a minute. Read that one more time right there, that last part of that one verse.
And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we... have what we asked of him.
But I don't see it yet.
Delay does not mean denial.
It goes back to faith, right? What's faith? Mm-hmm. Hebrews 11, verse 1.
Confidence of things to come, right?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, that's a good sermon here. Mm. Okay, go ahead.
We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life.
Confidence, knowing, wisdom, God's faithful.
Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
So doesn't that all start with salvation?
100%.
So there's your cornerstone. Mm-hmm. If I have prayed and know that he hears me when I pray and I ask him to be my Lord and Savior and I lay down my life, yes, there's a process of walking right and giving this up and giving that up, and it's all for his glory anyway. Mm-hmm. But that's the cornerstone that I can go back to. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't stop. A building is not built with just a cornerstone. Every stone you place on there goes back to that foundation, mm-hmm. right and true, squared, building up on it.
Yeah.
Every trial, every temptation, every thing that we've gone through builds that house.
Mm-hmm. For this very reason, where'd it go?
It's on your computer.
Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply more excellence, and in your more excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, here's your foundation, add this to it and build around it. Mm-hmm. You want to pray?
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. You said that you would give us wisdom when we ask, and that you give it liberally. So thank you for that promise. And we come to you, whether we're in a time of need, a time of difficulty and trial, or a time of rejoicing in your provision, in your protection, in your direction. Lord, thank you for wisdom. Wisdom about the things that are outside of us, and wisdom for the things that lie within. But give us discernment to see the difference between those things, and to lean into you, to navigate the difficulties of this life and keep our focus on you. Yeah. And thank you for your promises. They are yes and amen. You are faithful. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Keep grinding and go catch your trampoline. Hurry!
Don't do it naked.
Thanks for listening to the Grind It Podcast. If we could pray for you or encourage you in any way, please email us at thegrinditpodcast@gmail.com, or you can text us at 865-418-2824. If you're watching on YouTube, please click like and subscribe, and you'll be notified about new episodes. If you're listening on an app, leave us a 5-star review, but most importantly, share the Grind It Podcast with a friend. God bless you, and remember, keep grinding.